Come on in.
Good morning, Sir Howard. It's good of you to see me. I have so many exciting news. We have to talk about my husband's business too. I've got good news from his last trip to North Africa.
First, take a seat, my dear. Please make yourself at home. Shall we have a cup of tea?
That would be lovely. Thank you.
James? James? Tea for Mrs. Waldestadt and myself, please. We'll take it in the parlour. Oh, and James, we'd like some peace and quiet. No disturbances from the children especially. Anyway, you know that children have no place in the parlour. So, my dear, how are you doing? How are the children doing and your dear mother? How has your husband been coping with the heat in North Africa and living in a tent? It must be very exciting.
A scene from an upper-class European parlour in the late 19th century. Guests were received and entertained in rooms specially designated for the purpose. In this way, private and official or business life could be accommodated at home, yet we assigned distinct spaces. Not every person was allowed access to all of them, not even close family members. The spaces in which we live, our homes, and how we choose to live in general are expressions of individuality. On the other hand, living conditions always reflect social structures and cultural norms in different societies. Environmental conditions also play an important role in the ways humans have chosen to live. Whether a solidly built house or a fabric tent, people always adapt to their surroundings.
This topic area examines the customs of hospitality, how generations live together, life in a barren environment, and how men and women share a home, or not. Follow along as we visit the Near East, the Blackfoot peoples in the North American prairies, the Tuareg in the Sahara Desert, and finally the Asmat in the South Pacific. Even the most remote cultures never lived in total isolation, but interacted with people from neighbouring societies. They maintained relationships of friendship and sometimes of hostility, and carried on trade, even across vast distances. The large table which you're approaching shows the complex web of cross-cultural relationships in the 21st century, the movements of people, ideas, and goods around the world. If you open the last drawer on the right side of the table, you'll see four people who, in the next four rooms, will tell you about how people live and live together in their cultures. Remarkably enough, they're separated by only a few points of contact. For example, Ms. Emge from Turkey is connected by only four persons to Mr. Bimisek in Western New Guinea.